Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We're Pastors George and Terry Pearsons, and it has been a tremendous week here on the broadcast. I love hearing from the different speakers from this year's Southwest Believers Convention.
But today, you're going to hear from a speaker who has not only not missed a single convention, but he hasn't been missing them since before he was born.
Oh, tell us about that,
Terry. Yes, our son Jeremy. You know, our very first convention was in California in 1979. I was pregnant with Jeremy Yair. The next year was in Long Beach, California. Jeremy was dedicated in that convention. The next year was our very first Southwest Wow. Believers Convention. He was almost two. We brought Jeremy. I had him in a stroller and a carrier. I raised him working with me in the TV truck. Whatever we had to do, we brought our kids into the convention, mm-hmm. and they knew this is what we do, something about our family we don't miss. And so now what a pleasure it is to see our son with all that word, all that faith yep. put yep. into him. And now here he is, a speaker at the convention. And it's a real privilege to hear our own son, hear that word that we put into him actually coming back out at us. And it's so great that we can be ministered to and learn from our own son.
So without further ado, let's hear from our son, Jeremy Pearsons, on the spiritual law of lift.
Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained. What's he saying? I'm not there yet. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. So he's beginning to describe the direction that the progress is supposed to take us in. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet. But listen, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are, and where are they? Behind, and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. So the progress of the life of faith is forward. I know that sounds simple, but Paul, by the Spirit of God, is having to bring this out. I'm pressing forward. We talked about it a day or two ago. It's the walk of faith. And the implication there is the forward walk of faith. This is not the moonwalk of faith. This is the forward walk of faith. But did you hear what he said? This one thing I do, and then he gave you two things. My wife, Sarah, brought this out in church just a few weeks ago. Actually, it's been several months, but she said in looking at this verse, isn't that interesting? He said, one thing I do, and then he gave two things. I forget what's behind, and I press forward to what's ahead. The truth is, it's not two things. It's two sides of the same thing. In other words, you cannot press forward while you look back. Have you noticed this? Your body will move in whatever direction your eyes are looking in. You know this when you drive. You could have eyes on the road in front of you, but something comes up on the right hand or the left, and you look long enough at it, by the time you come back to the middle, you have to make some adjustments because you moved in the direction you were looking in. So it's not two things, it's the same thing. To move forward, I cannot look back. No looking back. He said, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards. Towards what? The goal for the prize. Now notice this. Of the upward call. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now remember what we said. Are we there yet? That's a childish mentality. Spiritual maturity doesn't think and understand and talk like that. Are we there yet? Look at what he said in verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Spiritual maturity looks forward. Spiritual maturity presses in this direction. But he didn't just give you and I one direction to press in. Did you see that? I press forward towards the upward call. So the progress that you and I make in the life of faith is constant in two directions.
Yes.
Always forward and always upward. You need to ask yourself this, spiritually speaking, if there's been a lack of lift, you need to ask yourself, I wonder if there's some weight that needs to be laid aside. Identify the source of drag, the source of weight, and overcome it. So I'm going to show you this from the Word. The book of Isaiah, I'll just read this to you, mention it to you. Isaiah chapter 43, this has been in our ministry, our verse, for this entire year. And we've seen so much in it as a church and as a ministry. The word of the Lord came through this prophet saying in Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. And you start talking about a new thing, people get excited. Oh, yes, new thing. Hey, the new thing, glory to God. We want to see the new thing. Yes, Lord, do a new thing. And I find people get excited about the new thing until it shows up and they think, no, I don't like this. Why? It's new. This is too new. I don't like this new thing. Look no further than the ministry of Jesus to the religious people of his day, looking for the Messiah. Do a new thing, O Lord, in this nation. They knew this verse. And Jesus shows up and they're like, No. Why? He heals on Saturday. So Friday's fine. Tuesday, okay. No healing on Saturday. That's new. And people resist the new thing. It goes right past him. And actually, he said this here in this verse. He said, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? There's a risk that the new thing could be happening right in front of us. We never see it. We never know it. We never benefit from it. And to find out why, you just have to back up one verse. He said in 43 verse 18, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Does that not sound like what Paul said? Forgetting the things that are behind me? How on earth could we miss the new thing God's doing? Because he's doing it in front of you and you're looking behind you. That's how you miss the new thing. And I have found people call it human nature. I think it's more than that. Have you noticed this? That we as a people have a tendency to forget the things we're supposed to remember and remember the things we're supposed to forget. That's not just human nature. There's spirits involved in that stuff. That's the enemy at work. Why else would David have to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. What does forget not mean? Remember. Remember what? He forgives all your iniquities. You would think, how could I forget that? When you are so conscious of the sin of yesterday, what's in the past, it takes faith to remember I'm forgiven. All my iniquities are forgiven. It takes faith to bring that back up. When your body's hurting and in pain from head to toe, it takes faith to remember he heals all my diseases. Faith to remember. But I believe it takes the same faith to forget that it takes to remember. It takes faith to forget. It takes faith to quit thinking about the past. Quit being dragged back. Because the more you're looking at the past, that's the direction you're moving in. And we're not called in that direction. We're called in this direction. And it takes faith to forget it. You want to know one of the best ways to forget the past? Quit talking about it. You may never, the memory of the event or what was said or what was done or the incident, the accident, the injury, the memory of that may never dissolve or dissipate from your thinking, but you can take all the pain out of it. You may not forget what was said, but you can take the bitterness out of it. But it may require you to stop talking about it. Stop bringing up the accident. Stop bringing up what they said. Stop bringing up what they did. I know we're talking about stories today. Some stories don't need to be told again. Because every time you do, what are you doing? Trying to fly backwards. And it doesn't work. I'm not aware of any plane that's got reverse. Quit talking about it. Forward motion requires you to look forward. And he said this here in this verse, Isaiah 43, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. He also said, now it shall, in other translations, now it shall spring up. Isn't that interesting? The same Hebrew word translated forward in this verse, or to spring forth, is translated up. To spring forward, to spring up, and that's the new thing. How do I know that this new thing is a God thing? What direction does it take you in? Because the new thing, the God thing, will not take you back.
Amen.
You notice when he said here, it'll spring forward, it'll spring up. There are two directions missing. What are they? Back and down, backward, downward. That tells me the things of God don't take you backwards. The life of faith doesn't carry you downwards. It is constantly forward and upward. The law of lift. Now, let me show you this, moving quickly here. I want to show you from the word that this spiritual law of lift was in action far and long before the natural law of lift ever was. Don't try to turn to all these. I'm going to read some scriptures to you from the book of Psalms and look at what David understood about the law of lift. Psalm chapter 3, verse 1, he said, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Talking about people. You know what he's saying? Lord, these people are a drag. I've been there. You been there? These people are a drag. They trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there's no help for him in God. Listen to this. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory. Come on, say it with me. And the one who lifts up my head. What does he do for you? He lifts up your head. People trying to drag you back, drag you, weigh you down. But he's the one, the glory, who lifts up your head. Come on. He's the lifter of your head. Say it. He's the lifter of my head. Now, every time we read about lift happening, remember, there's an overcoming taking place. He's overcoming what two things? Drag, weight. He went on to say in Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. This is the NIV. Out of the mud and the mire, he set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. So when he lifted you, you were overcoming. Anytime lift is taking place, overcoming is happening. As he's lifting you, you're overcoming drag. You're overcoming weight. How many of you flew here to be a part of this meeting? And you got to get on an airplane and fly back somewhere else. Think about this when you get on. When they taxi out to the end of that runway, flight attendants, please prepare for departure. And you feel the power come in. It takes you a little bit. That thing starts to lumber down that runway. And then you feel that nose wheel come off the ground and then the main gear off the ground. You know what you want to think to yourself? We're overcoming. We're overcoming right now. We're overcoming drag. We're overcoming weight. That's what's happening every time lift is occurring naturally and spiritually. David went on in Psalm 61. You've heard this. He said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I'll cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed." You could say when my heart's heavy. I know you've experienced this, a heavy heart, weighed down heart. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's where? Higher. I like one translation that says, "From the ends of the earth I've cried to you. When my heart was in trouble, you lifted me up on a rock and you did guide me." This is my favorite one. Psalm 113, verse 7 and 8. He, talking about our good God, raises the poor out of the dust. And he lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. Notice that he lifts them. Man, it's an amazing thing to think people still fight this word prosperity. What are you fighting? You're fighting the lifting. That's what prosperity is. It's a lifting. This is what he did. He lifted the poor. And notice he didn't just lift him to a median income. He didn't lift him to a place of increase that everybody else would be comfortable with. He lifted him as high as you could get to sit with princes. It's amazing to me. People are still so uncomfortable and they get squirmy when they hear the word prosperity. Just don't like that word. I just don't like that word. Can I give you another word? Anti-poverty. If you can't deal with the word prosperity, it's a Bible word. I recommend you get over that. But if you're still struggling with it, try anti-poverty. Because if you're anti-prosperity, then you're pro-poverty. And evidently, God is anti-poverty. I didn't say anti-poor. Anti-poverty. He's so against it that anyone who will cry out from a low place, Papa reaches down, lifts them up, overcoming drag, overcoming the weight of poverty, and goes ahead and sits them up there with the princes. So, if you don't like prosperity preachers, don't worry about it. I'm an anti-poverty preacher. I'm an anti-poverty preacher because Jesus was an anti-poverty preacher. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm anti that poverty, so I'm going to preach to it. The same way he was anti-blindness, so the anointing was on him to open the eyes of the blind. I don't like those prosperity preachers. Can you get on board with an anti-poverty preacher? I heard that. I'm working on t-shirts. Just he lifted them. Somebody say he lifted me. Now I want to move on in this. We've got just a few minutes. But I want you to put these words in your mouth today and for the rest of your life. He lifts me. Go ahead. He lifts me because he loves me. He lifts me because he loves me. Let's answer this question. He's lifted us, but how high? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Come on, he lifts me because he loves. He lifts me because he loves. This great love that he loved me with, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together where? Come on, where? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is what Jesus has lifted us out of. Now, if you were to back up, it gives you more description here of what exactly he's lifted you out of. Just back up a few verses, same chapter, verse 1. He said, you being dead with reference to your trespasses and sins, he made alive in the sphere of which trespasses and sins at one time, you ordered your behavior as dominated. Dominated. All these people who think they are free because they're quote unquote free from God, they don't know this. They're being dominated. Dominated by the spirit of the age in this world system as dominated by the leader, of the lower atmosphere. Dominated by the leader of this lower atmosphere. This lower atmosphere where weight and drag has the greatest effect, has its most pronounced effect. The source also of the spirit that is now operating in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all ordered our behavior in the sphere of the cravings of our evil nature, continually practicing the desires of the evil nature. Our thoughts were continually children of wrath by nature, as also the rest. This is what God calls being, check this out, a low life. This is a spiritual low life. Somebody who's not been raised and lifted out of this lower atmosphere. What does God call a low life? Living by the dictates of the flesh. Pursuing nothing but your own cravings, your own will, your own desire. And saying, not thy will, but mine be done. That's low life. So what's happened is Jesus, because of the Father's great love, he loves you. So what does he do for you? Lifts you. Out of what? The low life. Somebody shouted, he lifts me because he loves me. He delivers me because he delights in me. I have been raised to life, seated with Jesus. My Prince of Peace, the Captain of my salvation. He has lifted me out of the dust, out of the ash heap, out of the pit, out of the mud. He's lifted me, made me alive, seated me with Jesus in heavenly places. I'm free from the low life. I am not dominated by that spirit that controls the lower atmosphere. I'm not dominated by that. I'm not dominated by my flesh, the dictates of my flesh, the desires of my flesh. I walk in love. I seek not my own. And because of that, there's no strife in my life. I lay aside that weight and the drag, and I lift my eyes. I lift my eyes to the mountains where my help comes from. The maker of heaven and earth who lifts me because he loves me. Come on, give God a shout of praise for that. Thank you, Lord.
Also, environments like this, where you pull yourself away from everything else, all the other distractions, where God is able to get a hold of you about certain things. And so this is always an opportunity for us to get filled up and to go home with new direction, new energy, new excitement.
We got to be unafraid and unashamed. They got to see more power on your side than it is on the world's side.
Believe in the power of God every day. I don't wait for crisis moments to draw on power. Power is for everyday life.
I'm not going to be depressed and crushed. another day in my life, because he did it. He went through it. He bought it. He paid for it. And I now have the peace that passes understanding, keeping my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus.
Telling you, you really need to watch all of those Southwest Believers Convention meetings. You can go to kcm.org and see all of Jeremy's messages and all the other speakers. Mm-hmm. Go there and you can see them all. Now, George, kcm.org has a lot of things, actually, that you can go to. But
that's
one
true.
Thing right
that's
now,
true.
You can get this book, The Power to Prosper, that you and Sister Gloria Copeland wrote.
Yep.
And I want you to tell the people about this book and why it would be so impactful for them.
Well, one of the reasons for this book came out of something that I heard Brother Copeland say many years ago about how the Lord called him to teach people the laws that govern supernatural prosperity and abundance. And I took hold of that many years ago. And then in 2010, Gloria and I started teaching on prosperity, and we started out with 2 weeks of broadcast, and we ended up with almost 400 of those prosperity broadcasts. And then Brother Copeland gave me the assignment, Gloria and me, to write this book. It's not only a devotional, a 90-day devotional, but you can also read it as a book at your leisure to be able to get these principles of prosperity down on the inside. We need it so much in these days that we're in to know how to believe God for what we need in our lives, and especially with what's going on in the nation right now and this whole end-time atmosphere that we are in.
Uncertainty.
Uncertainty. And it's important to know that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
So
and this book really just expounds on that principle.
And it does, and I love the flexibility. You can read it as a daily chapter, or you can read it all straight through, just like you would any kind of book. And you can go to kcm.org to get yours, $16.99 in the United States. If you're outside the U.S., then the information for you to order yours is on your screen. It's a great investment for you and for your family to be prepared for the times that we're living in. And you know, George, I think it's a good time right now to say thank you to our partners for
Absolutely.
Their faithful support,
yes.
the financial support, the prayer support that you give, and you've said, we are with you on a regular basis, and you've made it possible to have the Southwest Believers Convention and so many other things because of your support and relationship with us.
Yeah.
And so if you'd like to be part of the team, that's something else you can do at kcm.org, or you can go to kcm.org/partner, and that will take you straight to more partner information.
All right, until tomorrow, remember this. God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.